Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. Let me adjust my camera here a little bit. We seem to have a little camera issue here. I'll fix that right now. And we shall adjust that down just a little bit and see if we can lock this in here. There we go. Welcome to Life Walk, Christ God, right here on Trim Radio Network. And I am Michael, and as always, first thing I always tell you is we have a lot of programs on Trim Radio Network. Come on by, check out the platform. It's StreamYard.com, but we're on TrimRadio.com. So we use the StreamYard platform, which is wonderful. We have a lot of shows, Live, Laugh, or Whatever, Money and Change, Life Walk, Offsides, College Footballs, Top 25 plus 5, Red Pill Reality Show, Ranch It Up. I mean, we have Revelation with Peter Kling, Pastor Podcast with Maggie Kling, and we're growing. Dora has her new show coming on, so we're excited about that. And we want more new shows. Actually, I'm going to be pitching an idea to some of the partners that I have about doing a podcast and bringing on people from Comic-Con and different things where they make different things. They sell comic books. They sell wonderful figurines and different things. And I went to one here in Columbia this last week and met some great people. So we're excited about that too. I mean, we're constantly trying to grow. And right before Christmas, I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. Anyway, before I begin with our show, I'm not a preacher, a deacon, clergy, pastor. I'm nobody. I'm just a guy that loves to read the Bible, enjoy it. This is my seventh time reading it. It's open to all kinds of different interpretations. So I've put up on the top under the comments list, if you want to join in on the show, it's at Trim Radio. You can listen in. You can also join. It's got a StreamYard link. I'd love to have you on and get your ideas, your interpretations. It's very nice. There's so many different layers to peel back in the Bible. And what a wonderful spiritual relationship you get to have with God. And I absolutely love it. And I'll tell you what, it's just really, really exciting. And the more layers you peel back, the more you'll see the parallelisms. It's very poetic. The theology. So many different meanings and understandings with it. It's got wonderful metaphors. It's got wonderful analogies. It's the greatest love story, in my opinion. It's number one for a reason all time on the all bestseller, you know. It's absolutely just the greatest love story. And it's factual. It's backed up by artifacts. It's backed up by times, date, places. Eyewitnesses. It's written by over 40 different authors on three different continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe. And it's a collection of books, of different writings, scriptures and parchments and scrolls. And I mean, it's just so wonderful. And all of them are factual, and they found artifacts and everything else. So, it's absolutely really cool, and just tremendous amounts of eyewitnesses. And we're now starting to uncover more and more all the time that these things happened exactly how they said they happened and exactly the dates and the times and the periods with different people that were witnesses of this over 1500 to 2000, 3000 years. So it, you can't refute it. It's irrefutable, and it's definitely factual, and it's proven, and it has proven itself over and over again. We have a living, alive, wonderful Creator, our Lord, our one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, God Almighty. And He is the Trinity of Trinities outside of time, space, and matter. So we're going to delve in today, and I'm going to tell you, because I love doing this right off of YouVersion. If you don't have this app, I got to tell you, you want to know the easiest way to learn the Bible. Now, I've read King James front to back twice. And then I've gotten on NIV, and I've read that one four times. So I've seen the versions and everything else. Pretty much it's word for word, just a different interpretation, but the facts are the same. This happened at this time, and this is when and who saw it and everything. Those never change. And the stories, the interpretations by each of the different people who wrote, so from Paul to Luke to Mark to John to, Matthew to, going all the way on back. You can go Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of it, okay? Moses, just all the way through. Absolutely wonderful, and it's, just, it's really, really cool. And the more you explore it, every time that you read it, you find more new stuff all the time. And so, if you have questions or whatever, always go to your preacher, always go to your deacon. These people study this stuff, delve into it, and that's all they do all the time. Me, I do it for enjoyment. I do it for peace. I do it to have a wonderful relationship with God. So, we could do it together. I love to share it. That's what I try to do. So hopefully this reaches somebody, anybody. If it changes your life, hey, you know what? How cool is that? But let's get to it. And today we're gonna go by our verse of the day through Ephesians 4:2. So let's get to it, and we shall talk about this. This is gonna be really, really cool.
As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended the lower earthly regions?
And that's something that we'll cover. When Christ was crucified, he didn't just ascend right away to the Father. Understand, he went down into the depths, into the lower earthly regions, and showed himself to death. I beat you. It's done. It's over. I have overcome this world. I have overcome what we're all afraid of, death. And Christ has already overcome that for us. And he says in Matthew, don't worry about the problems in this world. Tomorrow we'll have enough problems of its own, number one. And number two, Matthew also states, I've overcome the world. I have already overcome the world. So what they do to you, flesh, man, not. They can't touch the Spirit. They can't touch. And Christ offers this gift, this, and it's free. His yoke is easy. Obey God. Be obedient to his statutes, to his commands, to his decrees, to his laws. you know, all of it as a collective whole. Okay? What's easier, to sin or to follow God? Now, I will tell you this. Once you start to follow Christ and once you start to follow God, you're in for it, because now you have a bullseye on you. I can attest to this. I have seen it. You're going to be tried and tested. But you have to remember, you have somebody with you all the time, the advocate. Christ said, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you here alone. I'm going to send you the advocate, the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you. And I won't give you a temptation beyond what you can handle. I will always give you a way out. Now, does that sound like something that's difficult, that yoke? No, that sounds to me a lot like love, because he cares enough and loves us enough. One, we're created in God's image. We're created in his image. So we're valuable, okay? Better than gold, better than silver, better than anything in this world. We are created in God's image. And number two, he's protecting us. The advocate is here to protect us, to guide us, to tell us what's right and wrong. It comes with one condition. It's called free will, choice. You have to make a choice. And that's the difference. But when you make it, and when you freely acknowledge that Jesus Christ came to this world in the flesh, understand, in the flesh. Why? Because we couldn't keep our word with the first covenant. That was the problem. Go back to Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah 7. You can go back to Isaiah 43. You could go, hey, we couldn't keep our promise. You have to understand, human beings, even back as early as Genesis, are inherently evil from the time that we are born. This made God, when he says, I repent that I made human beings on the earth. The earth was perfect. He added us, and the beginning of our sin, of course, was the woman, who also brought Adam into it. But Adam freely did it. He had a choice too. And they disobeyed God at that time. So, and then Adam, having that special relationship with God, a bond, so much so, did he participate in creation? In a lot of ways, yes. He named the animals. What God said, I wanted to see what he was going to name them. So guess what? Whatever names that he came up with, that was their name, and that's their name today. But he broke that bond when he disobeyed God and broke his commandment. That's a covenant. And he sat there and he broke that and he ate of the fruit. Not an apple, fruit. It doesn't say a specific fruit. Okay? And the woman, she wasn't Eve at that time. This is such a misconception. This is such a myth. She was the woman. God went to Adam. Understand, it wasn't Adam until 3:20, I believe it is, in Genesis. Then he's referred to as Adam. Before that, he was the man. So when we, all these myths that happen, all these misconceptions and everything else, but the Bible's clear about it. But God said, did you eat of the tree which I commanded you not to eat of? And when he asked Adam, hey, where are you? That's a rhetorical question. God knows everything. He knows exactly where Adam is. He knows already what Adam's already done. Remember, God, because he's outside of time, space, and matter, has already gone forward. He already knows what's going to happen way ahead and way behind in the future, because he's outside of it all. So when I hear people say, well, where did God come from? God always has been. He's Alpha and Omega. He always has been. It's not like he just popped up. No, he's always been. So the wonderful thing about this is, after this happens, God says, you know, did you do this? And the first thing he says, the woman who you gave me. Kind of a narcissistic thing to say. Who you gave me. Turns around, puts the blame back on God. So what happens? God then goes to the woman. He ignores that fact. Okay. And he goes, what is this that you have done? Oh, the serpent beguiled me. So, of course, then he goes right from the serpent and he says, because you have done this, I'm going to punish you. You're going to crawl on your belly all the days of your life. Okay, limited amount of time. You'll notice that. Limited amount of time. Set in stone. Okay, just your days. And then, on top of it, you're going to eat the dust of the earth. How does the serpent talk? Okay. And why is its punishment to crawl on its belly if that's what it already does? So these metaphors, these analogies, you could see this poeticness. And we go down the street every day and when we see cruel people or whatever, we're like, you know what? That guy's a snake, or, you know, or he's a dirty dog, or you're kind of getting the gist here. So what do we know? We really don't know, but we have an idea, theoretically, or, you know, a parallelism. It's very different. But we know he descended. We know Christ descended first to show that I beat death. And then he's going to ascend. But he goes back and he runs into, well, Mary, of course. That's the first one that sees him. Don't touch me yet. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go back and tell the disciples. He's giving her instructions, teachings, to go back. She's preaching. She's going back, telling everything what's going on. She's laying out a game plan for the disciples so that they know. Okay? And what is she doing? How is she teaching? Have faith. I saw the Father. I'm a witness. My hope, my faith is exactly what I saw. Transfigured. How do we know that he's transfigured? Simple. Because he did that before with John and James, Peter, on the mountain. And they saw him talking with Moses and Elijah and Christ. Yeah. Master, it's good for us to be here. It's wonderful for us to be here. Let us build a shelter for you, for Moses, for Elijah. And of course, God then stepped in. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So, and then of course, they're gone. They don't see anything. Christ is right there with them. And he says, don't be afraid. Rise up. And as he's going down the mountain, he says, don't discuss this with anybody until after I am gone. So, but they saw him transfigured when he was on the water. They thought they saw a ghost. Again, transfigured. So it's very interesting. We are having, our relationship is a spiritual relationship. We know in Matthew, along with everyone else, all the other books, okay, he's very clear. The Father is in me. I am in the Father. And the Holy Spirit's right there. So we have a trinity of trinities. And it's wonderful. And he says, if you follow me, if you believe in me, then you, I am in you, you are in me. Well, guess what? If I am in you, you are in me, then you are also in the Father. And the Father is also in you. So guess what? God is in us. Christ is in us. And we are in him. And we are in the book of life. And we are in the truth. And we are in the light. And we have a Holy Spirit that is in us. And if you go back to Isaiah, he said, listen, I'm going to put this, the decrees, the laws, everything, the word, on their hearts and on their minds. We all have this knowledge. But what does knowledge take? You can't go to school and learn something unless you constantly study it, unless you constantly practice it. These are the important things that we have to do. We have a responsibility of doing, and not just practicing, not just studying, but living it. And that's the cool thing. Every day we're supposed to get better. And we try to be better and better. And we're going to be tested. That's the testing part. But you know what? When we go through that experience, what does Paul say? Listen, I know what it's like to want and to be abased. I know what it's like to, you know, have good and bad. But either way, I have joy. Why? Because no matter what my circumstances are, whether in want, whether in need, whether not in want or need, but whether of hand to the full, I am joyous. Why? Because I am chosen from God. Make no mistake, God is clear about this. We didn't choose him. He chose us. Again, all over the New Testament, these words. So understand something. You're a select people. He already knows what it is. And how do we do it? We go back all the way to Philippians, and it's, I know the purpose I have for you. Matter of fact, what is it? Let's see. Ha, I love these things because I can sit here and read. I know the plans I have for you. And I'm sorry, it was Jeremiah 29:11. Think about that. I know the plans I have for you. You understand? For you. I've got you mapped out. You think you have some choices in life, but how powerful is God? He knows every hair on your head. He knows how many times you'll blink, how many breaths you'll take, how many words you'll speak, how many steps you'll walk, how many times your heart beats. There, and then compound that with everything on the earth. How many blades of grass? How many leaves are in a tree? How many bees are out here? How many ants? How many animals? How the ocean waves go? How many clouds? There's not one thing. How many snowflakes? How many raindrops? How many lightning bolts that always hit their mark when he wants them to? All of this going on. 8 billion people. And he knows every thought of every heart and mind. There's nothing he doesn't know. So when you compound all this, we have a powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent God. Look at the alternative. Okay. The alternative is, and God's yoke is easy. And the alternative, think about it. Every problem that you have, every problem you face as a human being here on earth, you take all those problems and it looks like this giant pie. And I've said this before, huge pie, until you realize that Satan, Lucifer, the serpent, the dragon, whatever you want to call him, okay? I don't think he's worthy of a name, but whatever you want to call him, attacks you 24/7, whether you're conscious or unconscious, asleep, in your mind, in your dreams. He's relentless, always coming up with new schemes. All right, this scheme didn't work, so what? We're going to plan B, plan C, because he only has three goals: steal, kill, and destroy. And we already know how he does all that. He steals your wanting to get involved with God. And then he kills you because then you don't want to accept the truth, or you don't want to continue to search. So you shut God off. And guess what? Now you're destroyed. Now you're out of the book of life. But it's all by choice. Your choice. So we have choices. But let's get back to our lesson here. I wanted to cover the descending first, and that's the part, the best part, that God goes down first and shows death, I beat you, which we already knew was going to happen. Who can prophesy that way before it happens? We are witnesses, as God tells us in Isaiah, as he tells us in Jeremiah. I mean, you look at Daniel. Daniel went back. He was telling the whole thing he was seeing of Revelation. Guess what? Witness after witness after witness. So here we go.
He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself.
And what is this heavens? People are like, I want to go to heaven. Heavenly realms. Okay. How it works. I know Paul met a guy that was caught up on the third heaven and heard things that humans shouldn't hear. Okay. We know this. We went through this. But the interesting part is it's heavenly realms. So God is complex. How could we possibly understand or his knowledge with our pea brains? Okay. His wisdom is beyond ours. His understanding is beyond ours. His mercy is beyond ours. We're walking idiots, okay, in a lot of ways. I laugh because even if you look into Job, the understanding that Job didn't have, what God was doing, what was being carried out, until God spoke to Job. Now, I'm going to ask you questions, and you're going to answer me. Brace yourself like a man, like a behemoth. Brace yourself and answer me, okay? and of course, Zophar and Eliphaz and Bildad, they were in their own hot soup in that one. Elihu comes around. And he's mad at all of them, and he walks off, okay? I wasn't upset with him, I don't believe. Otherwise, he would have brought him into the mix. But Elihu tells the truth. You can't prove Job did anything wrong that deserves sin or that he sinned to deserve all this. It's possible God had a higher purpose, is what he's telling Job then. And Job said, but you did sin. Because maybe you didn't cuss God to his face, but you regretted being born. You complained. You thought you were going to have a face-to-face meeting to ask God questions. Who are you, you know, to do this? You're an upright man that escheweth evil. Hey, that's great. But God had a purpose. He had something else going on that you know nothing about. That's our lives. Maybe you're stuck in a traffic jam. Maybe you're stuck in an elevator. Did it ever cross your mind that God just saved your life? That an angel came ahead of you? The Holy Spirit is keeping you in a place saying, not yet. Not yet. Wait, wait. Okay, go. And then you get up on ahead. You see a multi-car fatality, a multi-car accident that you would have been in had you not been detained. Sometimes the greatest things that we can do is wait. I just like to say that because you wait and then watch, because something good's going to happen from your, and patience does what? It's just perseverance. It gives us, believe it or not, confidence. It gives us hope. It gives us faith. It prepares us. And why shouldn't God test us? We want to live an eternal life with him. And right away, he's not the evil one. There's no evil in him. So he's not going to tempt us. But he has every right to test us, to see whether we're worthy to walk in his kingdom. And a lot of people ask, well, where is God's kingdom? Where is his home? Well, I got news for you. God's everywhere. In, out, through, beyond, past, present. He's everywhere. His home is everywhere. Everywhere. So, but he's making a place so that we can come and serve him, and he'll be our God, the one and only, the powerful, our Lord and Savior. So it's really cool. But let's get on with it now. And I'm sorry, I always like to go off on these things, but I want to make people kind of aware and to pay attention and kind of check it out.
Gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming.
And see, this is what we are. What, listen to what Paul is saying. We're not infants. We're not children. We have to put on a new body. At some point, we got to get past baby food. We have to get past milk to where we're eating solid food or being firm in our word, in our walk. And you'll notice a lot of things with walk, with the feet. Wash your feet. Why? Because you're walking with God. We saw this with Moses. Take your sandals off. The place you're standing is holy. The tabernacle. We saw it all along the way. Boaz made a covenant, made like a title. Hey, I'll hold this up. You all see my sandal. And by this, you know that this agreement is real. Christ washing the disciples' feet. Why? Serving. Keeping our feet clean. Why? Because we're supposed to be an example and walk in Christ. But we're supposed to wash other people's feet. Because the last will be first and the first will be last. But this is all an invitation. And we know as human beings, listen to what he says. Here and there, by every wind of teaching, and by, that's what, how we're supposed to be with Christ, but the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming, that's what we are. Every inclination we have from the heart, according to Genesis, is evil. Okay? It just, we are. I'm sorry, but that's the way that it is. We had choices. We blew it from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, with Adam and the woman. And we are what we are. We're cunning, we're crafty, and we are deceitful, and we're scheming. That's not a good mix, folks. It's not a good mix. So we have to have a different mindset. We have to open our mind. We have to expand past this world. Don't think of this world. Think of, what about after this world? What am I going to focus on there? Focus on God's kingdom that he's making for us. Because remember, the old heavens will pass away. The old earth will pass away. There'll be a new earth and a new heaven. And there'll be no more of the things that we have here. We won't even have that stuff in our mind, in our hearts, or anything. Everything's going to be pure love. And God's going to make sure. And we know there's raiding parties that still go on in heaven. We know this happens. There was war in heaven. We already knew that. If there wasn't, Christ wouldn't have said, I watched Satan fall like lightning. Like lightning. So, understand, God gave you free will. How we choose to use that information is entirely up to us. So let's get on with it now.
Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity.
We see that today. You get on a reel, you get on something, these young girls, and they're beautiful, okay, understand they are, and the guys, and they're handsome. They barely got anything on, okay? And you're seeing them in these dinky little outfits and everything else. That's a temptation. It gets your mind thinking and your heart thinking in a negative, connotative way that we don't and should not want. You go to the beach. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it barely covers anything. Again, these things are cover yourself. Okay? It's incredible. And then you think about it. A lot of it do it for money. A lot of it do it for the views. How many views can I get? How much money will this generate? That's one of the reasons why here on Trim Radio, we don't charge anybody. It's not supposed to be about money. It's not supposed to be about revenue. It's not supposed to be about any of that. Okay? It's simply just here to spread God's word or to put on these other shows to let these people speak their minds, their opinions, and everything. And we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes along the way. There's no doubt. So we can't be really hypocritical. We have to understand it. Handle things in a gentle way. Handle things sympathetically, compassionately, lovingly. Okay? This is what we're supposed to do. This is exactly, how many times did you hear Christ scream, yell? He was mad, I can remember, maybe once, maybe twice, overturned the tables, had a three-corded band and whipped the horses and or the goats and the lambs, everyone out of his father's temple because they desecrated it. They turned it into just an evil pit of money-making, scheming, deceitfulness. So let's move on here.
And they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds.
And again, in your minds. You are in, when you put off your old self, your old evilness, your meat suit, whatever that is just vile and corrupt and everything else, understand something. We need to grow here spiritually. We need to have a spiritual relationship. You want to call yourself Catholic. You want to call yourself Christian. You want to call yourself Protestant. You want to call yourself Lutheran. You want to call yourself Jehovah's Witness. Whatever you want to call yourself, the bottom line is, are you having a spiritual relationship with God, or are you having just a man-made one or something? Because you can't have it on your terms. It has to be on God's terms, not on your terms. When you put it on your terms, you're basically telling the most powerful creator of everything, the world, the universe, everything. I got time for you, but it's going to be on Sunday, and it's going to be at 9 o'clock till 12. And then maybe I'll have some time for you Wednesday night. And why Wednesday night, I don't know. But hey, you know what? We'll do Wednesday night. And maybe 7 to 8. Well, that's pretty arrogant. That's pretty conceited. You need to give him his time every day. Multiple times a day. Are you thanking him before you eat? Are you saying prayers? Hey, thank you for waking me up. You don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. You don't know what tonight's going to hold. You know nothing. He's all-knowing. You're dumb as a rock like I am. Okay? There is no knowing. We don't know. We're only given what he wants us to have. And until we start acting that way and being gracious and grateful to God, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are going to be in trouble, and we need to spread the word. We need to be diligent about that, but we need to do it in a loving, caring, gentle manner. Okay? A little bit of honey will take you very far. So we need to do that. When we see people that are down, encouragement, lifting, love, helping them get out of that thing. Now, sometimes a hug is really cool, you know? Or, hey, I'm here right with you. I mean, what would you do if you were at that low point? I mean, we need to change our attitude toward each other, towards this, the world. We need to change this before it gets so far out of hand that we can't change it, because we already know there's going to be an end no matter what. But how are you going to do it during the small amount of time that you have, the blink of an eye? So understand something. This is God's time. Right here in this moment, as long as you're living and you're breathing, that's God's time. Respect him. Acknowledge him. Glorify him. Praise him. Because he is an awesome God. So let's get on.
To put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not.
And you notice, with those in need. You know, you're tithing partly by doing that. Everyone thinks tithing is all this money thing. Let me tell you something. Tithing is time. Tithing is love. Tithing is monetary. Okay? I mean, we knew that back then. Sanctuary shekel and everything, whether it's silver, whether it's gold, it's, you know, understand that, okay? But how you're doing everything, we're going to be building people up. That's what we're going to be doing. And when we're angry at somebody, what did Christ say about that? Understand, we have commandments, 10 commandments. Hey, that's great you know them. That's wonderful. God didn't come to abolish them. He came to fulfill it, to finish the first covenant. He is the second covenant. Okay? God made it clear in Isaiah 43. Go on all the way on up to 40, 45, whatever. And he turns and he says, forget about the former things. I'm doing a new thing now. And why did he say he was doing a new thing? Not because his old thing was bad, but he's doing a new thing because we were wrong. Because we were bad and we couldn't fulfill the first covenant. So God had to make a covenant that was going to be all time, that we can't mess up except by us rejecting him, which is your free will. He covered over a multitude of sins. What is impossible for us is not impossible for God. How many times should you forgive your brother? Seven times? No, 70 and seven times. You'll see parallels to this all the way back in Genesis. We saw it with how Cain was punished seven times. What did Lamech say? He said, I'm telling you all, I hurt this man that hurt me. And if Cain was punished seven times, then I will be avenged 70 and seven times. Wow, that sounds familiar. Where'd that come from? Matthew. And we saw that in Matthew. How many times must I forgive my brother, Lord, Rabbi, Master? Seven times? No. 70 and seven times. These parallels are great. The different things that you're going to see, the cross references, over 63,799 cross references. Front to back, back to front, all over the place. So it's just incredible. But you'll see them. Peel back the layers. You'll see it all. So let's go on down now. Uh-oh, something happened. Yep.
Let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you.
And that's how we need to be. Get rid of the road rage. Get rid of the angriness because you didn't get the present that you wanted for your child or whatever, and then you're going to start a brawl in Walmart, okay, or Target. The bad behavior, the bitterness, the angriness, rage. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. The one sin that is unforgivable is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people don't understand. There's a lot of different interpretations of this. Wow. Okay, so I won't cuss the Holy Spirit. Well, if you don't believe Christ died for us and rose 3 days later, that he descended and ascended, and he did this and came here in the flesh, the Word in the flesh, there's nothing new. God, just as Solomon had said, in Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, there's nothing new. And the bottom line is, they behave badly, we behave badly. But if we don't believe in Christ, we make God out to be a liar. We make Christ out to be a liar. We make the Holy Ghost out to be a liar. And guess what? You have now blasphemed me, the Holy Ghost. That's what you've done. You made a free will choice. By denial is what? It's blasphemy. Because you're not accepting truth. You're not accepting the Word. You're not accepting the light. Boy, that sounds familiar. What are those things? Oh, yeah, Christ. So keep that in mind. It's not about presents this year. Put that aside. It's not about how beautiful your Christmas tree is. Depending on how you look at it, what is it? If you're looking at it as a remembrance of Christ, a remembrance of a beautiful light, it's all lit up and beautiful, and then take the time to understand, wow, what a celebration we can have for whatever day he was born. Yeah, there's a lot of, well, he wasn't born on December 25th or whatever. Doesn't matter. That's not what you're celebrating. What you're celebrating is the fact that he was born. So if you want to be a denier and you want to call the Bible hypocrite, what do you care? What do you care what day they celebrate it if we can't get it down to a fixed time and place? Well, we come close, but it might not be that exact day. What do you care? It's not about that. It's about Lord was born. Jesus Christ was born. Emmanuel, God with us, was born, immaculate conception, to Mary, who as a servant of God took on that responsibility. God made a way for one call in the desert, John. And he will have the Holy Spirit before he's born. And he did. Because when Mary heard the good news that Elizabeth was going to have a baby, and she was like, oh, no longer will I be a scorn to the community or, you know, look bad because I'm going to have a child. And as soon as she heard Mary's voice, boom, John jumps in the womb. He flips. Bam. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. So was John before he was born. Thus again, another prophecy that came true. How cool is that? So when you go this Christmas, I want you to understand something. You are not you. You belong. You were bought. You were paid for. And you were wrapped better than any Christmas gift you got under that tree. That's God. That's God. And there's no disputing it. It's undisputable. Keep that in mind. Be good to each other. Love each other. Take care of each other. Praise God. Give him the glory. Okay? Talk about him. Find the right time. There's a door that always opens. You're going to be at places that you'll know when you're there at the right time. Let him do his work. Let God write the book. You just be the pen. That's all. Let him work through you, and you be the pen that he wants you to be. You're the tool to get things done that he wants you to get done. That's what we have to remember. That's how tiny we are. But God has a purpose for us. Jeremiah 29. So, I know the plans I have for you. That's pretty cool. We're not done yet. We're just getting started. Love y'all. Y'all have a wonderful, 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 wonderful week. Be kind to each other. And it's not about the presents, because if you don't have one present for your child, but you have a home, you have a roof over your head, you have food on your table, that is a present. If you're not, and you're in a homeless shelter, or you're out on the street, you still have God. Be joyous. It's unimaginable. I can't even imagine. And the people that do have a good home and a good roof over their head and everything else, help those people. Christ was very clear. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I didn't have clothes, you put them on me. When I didn't have shelter, you housed me. What do you think all that means? You have to serve. And you want to be first. And you got to understand, you got to be last. Coming in first isn't always the best thing. Not unless you're last. So take care, guys. God bless.